gang, welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the place where you go to hear free speech. This is what it sounds like when people can speak freely. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it on TV. Not going to hear it on broadcast radio. Not going to hear it in very many places, but you will hear it here, RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send shekels. Also, go to nationalbugle.com because I go around shilling for the Koshertified app and demonstrating it. I was in a supermarket and I was demonstrating the Koshertified app, and some guy came up to me and asked where the kosher food was. I said, well, if you had the app, you'd know, or at least you'd know where the non-kosher certified food is. Mark Dankoff, you go to nationalbugle.com, and you go there for the headlines, don't you?
Yes, and I have a series of things I have not yet blogged yet in our big board that will be blogged after the show that will be of primary importance to our listeners today. And, of course, there will be some additional things off of at least 8 or 9 news sites that will be up there in the big board probably by 5 p.m., but, of course, I have a series of things that we will mention just immediately in the news summary, and then we can kind of take it from there.
Okay. You know, Mark, I heard you on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show, the Monday show where you do the Generations program.
And Don Wassel of the Nationalist Times.
That's yeah, correct. He was on this week. And there was something you guys were talking about. I said, oh, I'm going to ask Mark about it. And you know something? I forgot what it was. But I will I bet I'll remember. But okay, just before going on air, I see that Marie, what's her name? Yovanovitch. She was the ambassador to the Ukraine, and she testified just this morning in front of Congress and said that she was stunned. That President Trump removed her. She said, well, she knows that actually she serves at the pleasure of the president, but still, she was stunned. She was stunned. She was appointed in the summer of 2016, formally appointed by Obama, but it was at a time when, well, Victoria Nuland was the Assistant Secretary of State for Ukrainian overthrow. I think that was her official title. And Joe Biden was he was the point person in charge of Ukrainian policy, although because he's not very bright, I'm sure he left most of the scheming to Victoria Nuland, who's very good at scheming. And he just, you know. So I was reading this. This was in the AP News, and the AP News said, yes, Rudy Giuliani and others were pushing for her ouster because she was resisting making any inquiries into baseless accusations that Joe Biden was involved in corruption, completely baseless. Now, it's not baseless that his son was getting somewhere between $600,000 and $1 million a year from an Ukrainian energy company, in spite of the fact that he doesn't speak Ukrainian, doesn't speak energy, and is probably not any brighter than his father. But baseless! They're baseless! Have you heard anything about this whole brouhaha, Mark?
Yes, and it's starting to look, frankly, like Jew versus Jew in regard to this whole circumstance.
I think Yovanovitch is Jewish. I'm not 100% sure, but she grew up in Canada and America speaking Russian. And let's face it, not very many people spoke Russian in North America unless they were Jewish.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting that official so-called investigation of Trump is now dragging in a couple of associates of Giuliani's who have now been...
Oh, don't tell me. They're not Jewish, are they?
They're Jewish, and they allegedly violated campaign finance laws in monies that were transferred to Donald Trump.
Imagine my shock.
Yes. So imagine your shock. And the other thing, of course, that is preposterous, and CNN continues to report this lie today, that there is no evidence of any wrongdoing by Biden or his son, Hunter Biden, in regard to matters Ukrainian, when their fingerprints are all over this with money trails. We'll wait to see if the so-called official investigation of President Trump in this impeachment circus includes a Ukrainian prime minister who is now prepared to testify publicly that Joseph Biden himself received $900,000 in monies that were paid to him by Burisma Holdings that had been funneled to him via the Ukrainian government.
All right, that's news to me. And you mean the Ukrainian prime minister, not the president, what's the guy's name, Zinaev, or whatever his name was. I call him Jerry Seinfeldsky because he was a comedian, a Jewish comedian. But you're talking about the prime minister, who is also Jewish.
Yes, and that there is a direct money trail, of course, that leads directly both to Joe Biden personally to the tune of at least $900,000, not to mention all of these monies that Burisma Holdings was paying out to his son, Hunter Biden, at the time that his old man was our chief liaison to the illegally installed Ukrainian government, courtesy of an illegal coup d'etat undertaken by the United States and the EU during the Hillary Clinton Victoria Nuland regime. So this is how ugly all of this is. And when we start talking about Ukraine and criminality involving American governmental figures, it's a question of which Jews do you want to indict first, primarily, or which shills for Jewish interests do you want to indict first? And when we start talking about the fact that the United States and the EU were directly implicated and even involving provable money trails and wiretaps of Victoria Nuland's conversations with Gregory Pyatt, the then American ambassador to the Ukraine.
The one before, I think her name's Yovanovitch.
Yes, the one before Yovanovitch or whatever her name is. The fact of the matter is, that this is the essence here, that the United States was involved directly in the Obama administration and since that time in criminality involving Ukraine, matters financial, matters involving bribery. But let's get first and foremost to the real story that is not being discussed, and that is that the United States and the EU illegally overthrew the Yanukovych regime in the Ukraine. Because Yanukovych decided that it was in his country's interest to cut a deal with Vladimir Putin as opposed to the EU in regard to trade treaty and banking treaty and potentially petroleum pipelines and other things of that sort. So you had basically in February of 2014, in the Ukraine, the equivalent of what the United States and Britain illegally did in Iran in 1953 with
Absolutely.
Operation Ajax.
Absolutely.
And that is to illegally overthrow a duly constituted government in order that the big boys might move in, the petroleum consortiums, the Israeli lobby, the Jewish banking interests, and all the rest of it. So
this is
the real story.
And Big Gay, too. Big Gay has moved in. Right,
yes, that's the other thing that I keep pointing out to Pompeo himself on Twitter, and I keep sending Secretary Pompeo and many of his so-called Christian allies like Franklin Graham on Twitter, the fact that Mr. Pompeo and the United States ambassador to Kiev, operating through the American consulate in Kiev, have been directly working with LGBTQ to subvert the Russian Orthodox Church in the Ukraine, which has historically had legitimate ecclesiastical oversight of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, and this even involves the sordid activities of the Central Intelligence Agency in paying off an apparently crooked Eastern Orthodox Patriarch, Bartholomew II of Istanbul, to get him to come up with a phony edict in a jurisdiction that was not even his ecclesiastically to declare that the Ukrainian Orthodox Church no longer needed to be in ecclesiastical subservience to the Russian Orthodox Church. And Bartholomew II even made some very, very telling hints that perhaps the Orthodox Church should re-examine its traditional hardline stance against LGBTQ. And since that time, the United States, under Mr. Pompeo, as well as his predecessor, has been working with LGBTQ in Kiev. The current American ambassador to Kiev has been in the forefront of public demonstrations for gay rights and LGBTQ in Kiev, complete with the rainbow flags and everything else. And if you go directly to the American consulate website in the Kiev, you can see Mike Pompeo's pro-LGBTQ missile as the Secretary of State of the United States that he, of course, wants to keep hidden from his so-called Christian Zionist allies in the United States. But in fact, Pompeo's fingerprints are officially all over this LGBTQ subversion in the Ukraine, which is an attempt to subvert the Russian Orthodox Church, which in turn is an attempt to continue in subverting Vladimir Putin's Russia and to continue encircling Russia in the underbelly of Russia at the same time that NATO continues all of these outlandish deployments ever closer to Putin's borders in Eastern Europe, and also with our various naval activities in the Baltic and so forth and so on. As these American deployments of troops and missiles and naval exercises and everything else are on the upswing, so are Russian defensive measures at the same time that it is not lost on these Russians that, in fact, the United States is trying to engage in serious subversion of their government of the same type that we have already accomplished in the Ukraine.
Right.
And, of course, the same illegal activities that we have been undertaking in Syria, working with Al-Qaeda and with ISIS.
Yeah, we're going to get to Syria. Now, I call Mike Pompeo Big Game Mike, and it's not because I'm accusing him of personally engaging in homosexual activity. I don't know.
That's right. He's not yet joined the Democratic Party. We want to be
clear. He hasn't yet joined the Democratic Party.
That's right.
But the LGBTQ lobby, which pushes the homosexual agenda or whatever we call it, that lobby I call Big Gay. Just like the pharmaceutical lobby gets called Big Pharma, the petroleum lobby gets called Big Oil. The homosexual lobby is Big Gay. And he represents the homosexual lobby, and so he is Big Gay Mike. That's what I'm saying, and I think we should all call him that. And I did just see I just noted that Marie Yovanovitch, she is listed as an American Jew, as a American people of Jewish descent on Wikipedia, which is actually a pretty good source for these things. So that's all part of, this is. Okay, I want to get to the Syria thing, but just because this has to do with the Trump impeachment and Joseph Biden and everything, I just want to ask your opinion on this. I still think that it is highly unlikely that President Trump would be removed from office by the Senate. An impeachment from the House of Representatives, sure, but removing him, having the Senate remove him, very unlikely. And it was the type of thing that Nancy Pelosi, I mean, all through the Russia hoax, not to mention through Stormy Daniels and through Trump taxes and whatever else, Nancy Pelosi always resisted an impeachment inquiry. But now she's not. And I do have the feeling that it is largely because she sees this as well. She's got to throw a bone to her base that's gone wild, gone completely rabid. And so, okay, she's going to throw a bone to them, but then she's going to throw Joe Biden under the bus because he's done for, and he is implicated in all of this, and it will all come out. So she's getting rid of him. And then it does help the whole Jew d'etat that I've been talking about, because although Trump won't be removed from office, he has been hamstrung all along by the Mueller probe, by all of these other things. He hasn't been able to operate an independent foreign policy. Although all of a sudden this week, maybe something has happened, and a spine-like alien has invaded his back. I'm not sure what's going on. But first of all, what do you think of my suspicion about Nancy's motives? And then second, let's transition over to talking about Syria.
Well, I told Press Television Iran this last week that Trump's impeachment was nothing more than a diversionary attempt to get people away from looking at the more serious crises impacting both the United States as a country as well as our miserable foreign policy. The fact of the matter is that this plays really right into Pelosi's hands, both in regard to continuing to whip up a post-Russiagate frenzy in the American media regarding Donald Trump. After spending $32 million on Russiagate and the Mueller probe and coming up with nothing substantive, we have now moved into Ukraine Gate. But with Ukraine Gate, it seems to me, Dr. Slattery, you correctly identified the fact that the American people should be able to figure out, with some of the things that are emerging, that Ukraine Gate is about an illegal American EU coup d'etat in February of 2014 in the Ukraine, that the criminality involving the American government in Ukraine involves the basic overthrow of their legitimate government. And that goes back, of course, 5.5 years ago. And since that time, Ukraine Gate points correctly to Joseph and Hunter Biden and Burisma Holdings, and that for CNN to say that there is no evidence of wrongdoing on the part of the Bidens flies in the face of common sense. It also tells the international community who and what it is that is behind many of the things related to this so-called impeachment circus. So, in fact, Pelosi is having her cake and eating it too. She can continue this Russiagate deep state nonsense now under the guise of Ukraine Gate, at the same time that without appearing to do so, she's implicating Joseph Biden and his son in this as more and more international information continues to emerge about all of the felonies that on a prima facie basis clearly have been committed by both Joseph and Hunter Biden and undoubtedly the Biden Foundation itself. The other thing here is Hillary Clinton. It has now emerged that over the course of time, both between the coup d'etat and with various things that the United States government has been trying to do in Ukraine since in regard to beefing up military weaponry and using Ukraine as an overall base for the continued subversion and encirclement of Russia, and that with all of the buddies thought to approach $1 billion that the Obama administration was pumping into Ukraine, there are now credible allegations that about $100 million of that ended up in the coffers of the Clinton Foundation. So when we start talking about Ukraine Gate, clearly the Biden-Clinton wing of the Democratic Party is up to its eyebrows and above in regard to prima facie evidence of criminality. And so the American public, the longer this goes on, the longer this will bring the American government to a standstill and perhaps create the way for Joseph Biden to go by the wayside as a Democratic presidential nominee.
All right. Well, we will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. This is the National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And we're talking about important things going on, the Ukraine, now Syria, Kurds. I did catch President Trump's speech last night. He gave a speech at a rally in Minneapolis. And, you know, he has his big fans. He has, you know, 10, 15,000 people come and see him. I don't know if this was in a hockey arena or a basketball arena or what, but it was in some big venue. And so he had his people there. And he relates to them. And, of course, he doesn't say anything very complicated. He did say one thing that I'm sure is going to get echoed in the news. When he was talking about Joe Biden, he says the only reason people think Joe Biden was a good vice president, he said he was a horrible senator. The only thing that was good about him as a vice president is really good at kissing Barack Obama's ASS. I don't even know if I can say that on RBN, but he said it. And then
ASS on RBN, that's right.
Yeah, and then he says it, but he didn't say ASS, he said the word.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Kissing Barack Obama's. And then just struts around the stage looking behind him, you know, right? And of course, the whole crowd was cheering. Then he got into his decision to withdraw the troops from Syria. And of course, the people who go to Trump rallies, these are the exact same people who had, you know, red, white, and blue ribbon-shaped magnet decals on the back of their cars and trucks for 15 years and super patriotic and all of this. What he did is he talked about the experience of going to Dover Air Force Base and meeting the families of soldiers who had died over there, and just said, you know, we can't do this anymore. We can't do this. And it wasn't articulate. It wasn't policy based. He wasn't trying to justify the policy so much, just saying we can't do this anymore. And, you know, talking to people on that level, it worked for that venue. But of course, you know, we can say that this isn't the Kurds fight is not our fight. The Kurds were opportunists to get into this. The Kurds are currently occupying parts of Syria that aren't their traditional homeland. The Turks do have legitimate security concerns regarding their own. They have a population of well over 10 million Kurds that has for decades been trying to carve out an independent Kurdistan out of a big hunk of Turkey. And when they're running away from the Turkish military, they often go over that big land border. Turkey's biggest land border is with Syria. They run over and hide in Syria. And this has been a concern that the Turks have had. The Syrians have had their own concern. The Syrian government, not the Kurds, but the Syrian government's had their own concern with Turkey allowing the Israeli Air Force to use Turkish airspace to bomb Syria and all sorts of other complaints. I know you have a fair background in looking into these and related issues. What are your thoughts, Mark?
I'm going to be relatively simplistic about this with reference to several articles that I want people to take a look at after the show is over, and I will get it blogged on our nationalbugle.com by the end of the day, especially Vanessa Bealey's piece on Syria that I think goes a long way toward explaining all of this. I'll also say in advance that Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's interview with Dr. M. Raphael Johnson is going to be well worth people's time in regard to matters related to Ukraine and Russia. So I will get that one as well on our podcast section.
And that's going to be next Monday?
That show has already aired.
Okay.
I will get that on us as well on our site by the end of the day so people can listen to that show. But let me for a moment just be a little simplistic. Vanessa Bealey's article, which I will get blogged by the end of the day, we'll discuss details. But the long and the short of it with the Kurds is that I don't mean to be flippant here, but they have a long history of political stupidity. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? They have been a tool in the hands of neocon Zionists for mm-hmm. a very, very long period of time in regard to carving up the Middle East and supporting sectarianism and supporting separatist moves when it was a question of destroying a unitary state that Tel Aviv and Washington wanted to get rid of as a unitary sovereign nation state. The Kurds have been betrayed by the United States neocons and Zionists more than once, and now they've just been betrayed again. And in this particular case, when I look at Syria, the first thing we need to remind ourselves of is this. And this is something that was posted for us by Syrian Girl on Twitter. I will repost it on our site by the day's end at nationalbugle.com. She reminds us that Syrian Christians blame the Kurds for refusing to allow Assad's Assyrian army to secure the northeast mm-hmm. and stop Turkey's advance. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing.
That's an excellent point. We're going to repeat that when we come back from the break.
Very good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice.
After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we are back. And so, Mark, just before the break, you were making the point that had it not been for this, I guess it's a Kurdish-dominated coalition of what they call it, like Kurds and Arabs for Democracy, Freedom, and Zionism, or something like that. If it wasn't for the, you know, that group with the American human shields, the American military human shields scattered across that area, that the military of President Assad, the government of Syria, backed with by their allies, would have taken control of that last part of Syrian territory, and you would have had a once again united Syria, and there would have been no reason for the Turks to move their army into that area. So that's the case, right?
That's absolutely the case. And this is something that's not simply a case that is being made by Syrian Girl, who is a very, very fine alt-media person that's out there reporting on events Syrian. But George Galloway makes this very point on RT in a piece that we'll have up on the big board by the end of the day. And it's entitled, "Between Washington's Rock and Ankara's Hard Place, the Kurds had better choose Damascus." Doug Bandow has a very, very important story out there on Syria. It's entitled "Trump's Triumph: America Finally Leaves Syria," or so we hope. The other two things I'll throw in there on Syria before we get back to what we were nailing down here, Patrick. The scientific paper of Theodore Postol, I believe, at MIT, that argues that Assad was not responsible for these Syrian chemical attacks,
right,
has been shelled after a so-called Bellingcat-led backlash. That's on RT. We will get that up on our big board.
The paper has been shelved? Is that what you said?
shelved in terms of trying to keep it out of public purview. And then last but not least, the Vanessa Bealey article that I made reference to from thewallwillfall.org. That's an interesting title for a website. One might try and determine what is being meant by that. But nonetheless, Vanessa Bealey, who is a very terrific writer and very knowledgeable on Syria, explains, I'm quoting the title of her piece, Syria, Turkey, the Kurds, and NATO Explained. So between Bandow and Vanessa Bealey and our own good buddy David Stockman and also George Galloway, it is very clear that the Kurds have made an incredibly stupid mistake in ever trusting these neocon Zionist types to begin with. All of the evidence is there that they had thrown themselves in with these people deliberately for not only the beginnings of the so-called Syrian civil war, which was no civil war at all. It was a question of the United States and Israel and Saudi chiefly importing al-Qaeda, importing ISIS, and working with all these Sunni Wahhabic extremist organizations that are obviously terrorist groups to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria, because that's what Netanyahu wants principally. That's what the Saudis want secondarily, because they want to attack Iran, and they also want to rid the Middle East of this rather troublesome Shia crescent in the Middle East, which extends from Iran through Alawite Syria. The Alawite religion, of course, is an offshoot of Shia Islam. And, of course, that crescent extends to Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. So in this particular case, the United States, Israel, and Saudi were importing all of these Sunni Wahhabic terrorists into Syria, arming these people, logistically supporting them. Israel was even providing medical care for these wounded Sunni Wahhabic extremists.
Openly. And what is, was it, The Independent or The Guardian? One of those British newspapers sent a film crew down there and interviewed the doctors about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so this is the character of what has been going on in Syria. This is all about the neocon Zionist globalist New World Order trying to destroy the integrity of yet another country, whether you're talking Syria, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova, ad nauseum, the next big enchilada for both Netanyahu and the Saudis is to somehow get the United States stupidly to continue in Syria at the same time that the United States eventually is brought into either a solo attack on Iran for no legitimate reason whatsoever, or is a part of an American-Israeli effort against Iran that is absolutely unwarranted, illegal, unconstitutional, and contrary to international law. So this is what the Kurds have gotten themselves into. And just from a Christian perspective, it is the Assyrian Christians of Syria who blame the Kurds for refusing to allow Assad's army to secure the northeast part of that country and to stop Turkey's advance. The Kurds we should shed no tears for, in my judgment, and that certainly Stockman and Galloway and Vanessa Bealey would all tell us some version of that story in regard to the fact that this is not something the United States had any business doing to begin with, and then the Kurds were stupid enough to get themselves involved once again with the Americans and the Zionist Israelis, figuring that the Kurds would probably get what they want both in northeast Syria and in part of Erdogan's Turkey, and would do so with as a part of a larger Bernard Lewis and Yanone plan operation being engineered by Tel Aviv to carve up all of these countries in the Middle East that might pose any opposition at all to the Zionist juggernaut from the Tigris to the Euphrates River. This is what this is about. And I would simply, sadly, have to say to the Kurds, you guys made your bed with evil. Now you can sleep in it, and if you have any sense at all, you better take George Galloway's advice and go back and ask Assad for forgiveness. Align yourselves with Damascus, and that's the only way that you're going to avoid what is now happening to you, which is that the Erdogan regime, which has absolutely no principles whatsoever, is now coming after you. And this guy Erdogan, we need to remind ourselves, in the course of these ongoing activities that involved ISIS in Syria, when ISIS was in control of many of Assad's oil fields, Erdogan was doing business with ISIS. Yeah. And these ISIS trucks were coming across the Syrian-Turkish border, and Erdogan's son, who is apparently the Hunter Biden of Turkey, was profiting. He and his oil company were profiting by all of this pirated activity with ISIS oil that was being stolen from the Syrian people and from the Syrian regime. And the fascinating thing is, as we get into some of these individual stories that I have mentioned on Syria, apparently there is yet another component to this whole issue of what it is that the United States is doing in Syria. And that is, at the same time that the Kurds are being carved up like Turkey by Turkey, the United States is still trying to ensure that we basically have an American control of some of these Syrian oil fields that are in the northeast part of that country. That's another element of this in terms of petroleum geopolitics, in addition to the obvious Zionist and Sunni machinations that are going on in that country. And I want to emphasize something that I think Don Wassel of the Nationalist Times does a great job with, not only on a regular basis with his newspaper, but when he is on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's Generation Show, coming out of UK Eurofolk Radio one Monday out of the month, he emphasizes that this is not only a question of what the United States has been a party to in destroying the lives and aspirations of Libyans, Palestinians and Gazans, Syrians, and Lebanese people, and the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. This is all about the same American Zionist-occupied government using American monies and getting the United States further and further into national debt in the support of all of these murderous and immoral activities, at the same time that when you count up the American blood that has already been shed in these merciless, immoral, and evil globalist Zionist adventures, that if in fact Netanyahu and the Israeli lobby and the Saudis still manage to pull off dragging Trump or a successor to Trump into a kosher Saudi jihad against Iran, this is going to involve the shedding of a lot more innocent blood that is not simply the innocent blood of decent Iranian people. It will be the blood of our own sons and daughters of the United States who stupidly will be dragged into this thing, many of them believing that they are supporting the national interest of the United States, when in fact they are supporting an American political elite that is destroying our own domestic economy, that has polluted our culture, that continues to rip people off with the sleazy banking system that we've got, at the same time that that American elite is working to undertake its machinations in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe against the Russians, the same element, of course, that is trying to carve up the Middle East, primarily for Israel, secondarily for Saudi and the petroleum consortiums, and that this is an unsavory, evil effort that should not have the imprimatur of the American people on it, or any sense at all that the founding fathers of the United States would have approved of these activities, or that an earlier generation of Americans would have failed to see that these wars have been based on a pack of lies, and that certainly when you look at the criminal activities of George W. Bush in invading Iraq in 2003, we were reminded of all of this, of course, when he and Ellen DeGeneres were together there in the press box at the Dallas Cowboy Green Bay Packer game the other night. But this,
what, George W. Bush and Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres there with George W. Bush And so honest liberals.
Did they dance? Because they both dance. They're famous for dancing.
I didn't check into it that far. I didn't want to toss my cookies. But at any rate, there you have all of these leftists talking about how is it that Ellen DeGeneres is appearing with a war criminal named George W. Bush, quite rightly a good question. But then, of course, the question of Barack Obama's crimes are not mentioned. And many honest Islamic peoples in the Middle East remind us today that Barack Obama, who 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Hey, I just have to ask. So, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, like back in the aughts, all of the people of her ilk, all the liberals and the lefties and everybody, they all reviled Bush. They despised Bush. Now, they never did the coup d'etat type of tactics that they've been using against Trump, against Bush. I mean, Bush actually was able to govern. They allowed him to govern. And looking back at it, what was their objection to Bush? Because it obviously wasn't war. They're for all the wars now. And if Trump tries to withdraw from one of the, you know, wars that Bush or Obama started, then everybody screams bloody murder. What was their objection to Bush?
Well, this is a very interesting question, isn't it? Because, in fact, it is the Bush wing of the Republican Party that continued to finance Planned Parenthood. There wasn't a nickel in retraction of federal funds for Planned Parenthood throughout the George W. Bush regime. The George W. Bush regime is a regime that was all about neocon Zionist regime change wars.
Which the Democrats have no problem with. Hillary's all about it.
That's right.
Almost everybody running for president's all about it. Even Sanders, when you get down to it, isn't that different.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the ultimate irony. As was pointed out by Sarah Abdallah on Twitter in the last couple of days, Barack Obama dropped something like 100,000 bombs on 8 different Islamic countries. Mm. And yet when we talk about war crimes, this supposedly anti-war democratic left only wants to talk about Bush's crimes, fair enough, but bring in Obama's crimes. Bring in
and
the
then oppose Trump, if he wants to withdraw from wars or if he wants to improve relations with Russia, then you try to impeach him.
So well, that's right.
It's fake and gay.
That's exactly what it is.
And there's an acronym there, and Ellen DeGeneres would know all about it. Hey, because our time's limited, a couple things I wanted to bring up. So
sure.
President Trump, in his speech yesterday, and it was almost as an afterthought, an unscripted afterthought, when he was explaining why we're getting out of Syria. And then he said, we could negotiate a peace deal between Turkey and the Kurds. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do diplomacy, which was kind of interesting. And it didn't seem scripted. It seemed like that was just kind of afterthought off the top of his head. Why not? It's a good talking point. The other thing is, so Tulsi Gabbard, who I've talked about a lot, she is scheduled to be on the debate stage this coming Wednesday, October 15th. She qualified for the debate, but the past couple of days she's been saying, "Well, I might boycott it," which makes no sense. I've gone to her Twitter, and there's like every reaction, every response to her is, "Don't do it, don't do it." That doesn't make any sense. Now, maybe she's trying to create some buzz. But here's just what I'm wondering. She would be on the stage, and everybody else is going to be saying Kurds and Trump was treasonous to betray our great allies, the Kurds. And then, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, she has met with Assad. You met with that butcher, and she's defended Trump's decisions. And it wouldn't just be the other candidates; it would be the moderators. I would like to think that. And I don't know what's going through her mind. I'd like to think she's brave enough to stand up there and be the only person who's right and hold her ground. But, she's only 38 years old. Do you think this is a lot of pressure on her, her feminine shoulders, her young feminine shoulders? What do you think?
Well, my observation is that women in public office tend to be very tough characters in the main. And I'm talking about the good ones. There are a few good ones.
Okay, and we'll hear about that when we come back.
Sure.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
And we are back. We are back. So, Mark, just before the break, I was asking you about Tulsi Gabbard, and I said something about pressure on her young feminine shoulders, and I wasn't really trying to imply that because she's a woman, she's more likely to cave, because boy, oh boy, do men politicians cave. I guess I use that wording because I've got a crush on her. But at any rate, what was your thought?
I would simply say the same thing to her that I wanted to say to Ron Paul when he was running for president on the Republican line. You got to strike now while the iron is hot. In the midst of this situation in Syria, Tulsi Gabbard has to do two things. She has to continue saying that the Trump impeachment hearings are an absolute circus and diversion from the issue of what is going on around the world, and specifically in Syria. She needs to emphasize that the American effort up to now in Syria has been a complete catastrophe, an immoral catastrophe. And then she has to draw the bigger picture of Syria in terms of Israel and Saudi Arabia and the military-industrial complex of the United States, and she has to emphasize that the time has come not simply to get out of Syria. The time has come, yes, to get out of these wars generally, but to understand that these wars did not happen by accident, that the foreign policy of the United States is being co-opted first and foremost by Israel, secondarily by Saudi Arabia, and that these worthless wars have to stop. They are draining us economically. They are destroying us morally and politically. We will lose more of our own flesh and blood in these conflicts if they continue, even as we will be party to killing hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of additional innocent people in something involving Iran that could even mushroom into a global conflict. If my other candidates on the stage want to support that, that's their privilege. But I'm here to tell you right now that I'm one Democrat who wants this to stop. Mm-hmm. And I want all of my anti-war colleagues, the honest ones on the American right, to recognize that I'm saying the same things that they're saying, and we got to stop it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, saying the Z word or the Israel word, that's really, really tough. She's gone pretty close. I mean, she said that Iran's not a direct threat to us. Saudi Arabia is a threat. Saudi Arabia is responsible for 9/11. She said that the CIA, she said on the Colbert show that the CIA backed ISIS. So she's really gone out pretty far. And of course, she went over to Syria and met with Assad. And so
and hit him with that, Theodore, I think Costola is the man's last name. Hit him with that MIT research paper. Assad didn't do these chemical attacks. This is the proof. These chemical attacks were undertaken by the terrorists that we have been supporting in Syria, the Al-Qaeda and affiliates and ISIS, at the behest of Israel and Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. That's who's behind that, both in terms of false flags in Syria, trying to draw us militarily further into Syria. And these are the same shenanigans that are going to be used by the same suspects to draw us into a war with Iran that can become a global conflict. And let's pull the plug on these people now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, she needs to listen to us. You know, it's hard getting through to campaigns. And in campaigns, there's a lot of jealous people who want to protect their access to the candidate. I don't know who she's talking to, who she's listening to, except I know that Stephen F. Cohen has, or she has, Stephen F. Cohen has her ear, I guess, which is good. But he's a Russia guy. He's not a Middle East guy. But, yeah, I hope that somebody refers her to this broadcast, because you were speaking a lot of sense there. Me too. And we'll be back speaking more sense next week on another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.